Good morning. This morning's message on wisdom and temptation is from Proverbs 5. If you want to turn there and follow along as I read, it's page 530 in the Black Pew Bibles. Proverbs 5. My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion and your lips may guard knowledge. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil, but in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander, and she does not know it. And now, O sons, listen to me, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your strength, and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. And at the end of your life, you groan when your flesh and body are consumed, and you say, how I hated discipline, and how my heart despised reproof. I did not listen in the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. I am at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be for you alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman and embrace the bosom of an adulteress? For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he is held fast in the cords of his sin. He dies for lack of discipline, and because of his great folly, he is led astray.
Amen. Let's begin with prayer this morning. Father, we come to this place just wanting you, but the reality is we're also distracted and we want many other things as well. So I just pray that by your Spirit you would teach us, that you would lead us and guide us, encourage our hearts, and also challenge our hearts as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. A few questions to begin our time this morning. First, what is the most obvious temptation that you're facing right now? Or maybe asked a different way, what is the temptation that you face most often in this season of life? Secondly, why are you tempted by it? And lastly, what do you believe it will give you if you say yes? If you give in to that temptation to sin, what do you believe it will give you in return? I want to share a story with you of when I was 14 years old. I didn't grow up in Tremont. I grew up about 20 minutes south of here. And so if you wonder what I looked like when I was 14, I have a picture for you. That's me. Got some nice hair. A lot of people ask me, hey, why don't you grow out your hair? Why don't you do something with your hair? Well, that's the alternative. And so I'll let you be the judge of what I should do. But this is me at 14. Maybe it looks better. I'm not sure. You decide. You can take it off if you want to. But months before this picture, I was in eighth grade, okay? We were just about to graduate as eighth graders, and we got out of school a little bit earlier than the rest of the junior high. And so we had planned, my friends and I, to all go to one of our friends' houses who lived just right across the street from the school, and we were all hanging out. We had lunch together. This person had a pool, and we were swimming. And it got to the point in the afternoon where they said, hey, let's watch a movie together. And so they kind of decided what should we watch. This was before Netflix. This was before Prime, any streaming service. This is DVD stuff, okay? So this friend had a movie called The Dukes of Hazzard, okay? The new one that came out in like 2005 or whatever. And this is the movie that my friends decided on. Now, I was 14, and I don't remember my parents' rule on what I could watch or what I could not watch. I was just pretty certain that this movie wouldn't be on the list. Okay, so I was faced with a decision. What was I going to do? Because the problem was, is I was probably the only person who had this rule. Everyone else, at least, where it was saying, yeah, it's fine, let's go ahead and watch it. Another problem, I didn't have a cell phone, and so I couldn't like just discreetly text my parents, say, hey, can we watch this? So I would have to borrow a phone to call and ask permission, or I could just kind of fade into the background, watch the movie, and let it be. And so I was stuck. So what do you do? Pretty minor, maybe, compared to some of the temptations that some of us face, but in that moment, it was a big deal. Because it meant obeying my parents. It meant honoring my father and mother. And ultimately, it was about obeying God. I was tempted to disobey my parents and watch the movie. We're talking about temptation this morning. Okay, and not just temptation, but what does it look like to receive God's wisdom in the midst of temptation? Okay, to summarize this sentence, or this message in a sentence, it's in your bulletin. We'll also put it on the screen. It's this. God calls us to say no to the temptation to sin. Okay, God calls us to say no to the temptation to sin and instead say yes to his good gifts. We do this because Jesus said no to the temptation to sin. And instead, he chose to trust his Father. So we say no, and we choose to trust our Heavenly Father. And this series is on wisdom, okay? So this is wisdom. Knowledge allows us to simply run from the temptation, which is good, okay? Wisdom is not only running from the sin, but also running to God. Running to the good gifts that he has given us. And this is what Proverbs 5 is all about, if you want to look at it, if you're still there. It's a father speaking to his son, teaching him how to say no to temptation. In verses 1 and 2, we read this, quote, "My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion and your lips may guard knowledge." He then goes on to warn his son about the forbidden woman, how her lips drip with honey, her speech smoother than oil, but in the end, she is bitter. The path that she is on leads to death. It does not lead to life. Just like the apple or the fruit in Genesis 3, this woman seems enticing in the moment, and yet she will only lead to death. So let me ask you a second time. What are you tempted by right now? Like Proverbs 5, is it to sin sexually? Or maybe it's to indulge in food and give in to gluttony? Is it to remain selfish in your marriage, only focusing on your needs and your wants? Is it to gossip and crush people under your feet in order for your flaws to remain hidden? Is it to give in to anger and resentment because you feel justified because of the wrong that's been done to you? Is it to accumulate wealth that you will only use for yourself? Is it to give in to the anxious and depressing thoughts that creep into your mind that leave you paralyzed and hopeless? Is it to become impatient with your children when you're stressed out or when you're tired? Whatever it may be, know that you're not alone. But more importantly, know that just because they are a temptation, it doesn't mean that you have to give into the temptation to sin. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." And so if this is true, how do we live into this truth that Paul points out? Okay, back to Proverbs chapter 5. The wise father essentially says in 5 verses, enjoy the wife of your youth. Okay, so the father says that we turn from the temptation to sin and instead choose God's good gifts. And a spouse is a good gift from God. But hear me correctly, okay? In a self-sacrificing, God-centered marriage, intimacy between a husband and a wife is a good gift from God that should be treasured, guarded, and chosen instead of sexual sin. But in terms of this specific temptation, this begs the question, what if I'm single? What if I don't have a spouse? And that's a fair question. But Paul says this in 2 Timothy 2:22. He says, "So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the name of the Lord from a pure heart." Paul says that we need community, that we need each other. Remember in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes that God will give you a way out. And in my opinion, I believe that that way out in most circumstances with any temptation is reaching out to those in your community. These people in your life are a good gift from God who are running this race with you. They want to bear your burdens, and you are called to bear their burdens. More on that in a little bit. But we say no to sin and yes to God's good gifts. Okay, the second part of this summary statement is crucial. We are not just to run from the bad, which is the sin, but we're also called to run to the good, okay, to run to God himself. And so what does this look like? Going back to the few examples I used just minutes ago, it looks like this conversation in your mind or this conversation with others. First, I'm tempted to give in to my lustful thoughts, but instead I choose to reach out to my friends in order to walk in the light and live with integrity. I'm tempted to eat that third helping and have way too much dessert tonight, but I choose to believe that my body is a gift from God and a temple for his Holy Spirit. I'm tempted to give up on my marriage, but I choose to believe in God's good gift of restoration. I'm tempted to join in the conversation of bad-mouthing someone that I know, but I choose to believe that this person is made in the image of God, dearly loved by God, and therefore deserves my respect. I'm tempted not to confess these feelings of anger and bitterness, but I choose to believe that freedom and healing is found in vulnerability and reconciliation. I'm tempted to spend my money on things that I don't need in order to feel happy or secure. But I choose to believe in the good gift that says, quote, "It is better to give than to receive." I'm tempted to let these anxious thoughts dwell in my mind and dictate my life, but I choose to believe that Christ lives in me and has ownership of my mind and ownership of my life. And lastly, I'm tempted to become angry and impatient with my children when I'm worn out, but I choose to believe Christ's power is made perfect in my weakness and that my children are a good gift from God. So let me pause and ask for a third time. What are you tempted by? What do you believe saying yes to that temptation will deliver? Another question that may be helpful is what triggers you? what makes you feel the urge to want to give into that temptation to sin? And if possible, do you need to eliminate that trigger? Just get rid of it if you can. When we lived in our old house on Chestnut, Rick and Beth's old house, we had our dishwasher in our kitchen, like most people do. But on top of the dishwasher, the counter, we kept all of our like leftover dessert. Okay, so anything carb or sugar related was placed there. And so unfortunately, what happened over time is I would get up from the kitchen table, rinse off my dishes, put the dishes in the dishwasher, close the dishwasher, look up, and what would I see? Sugar, right? I just finished a meal. What do I want? I want a dessert. And so I would grab a cookie, I'd grab a brownie or whatever. Days, weeks went by, and this continued. Okay, I created a habit. I created what people call a habit loop. Okay, my cue was to put my dishes in the dishwasher. Okay, the routine was to grab something to eat, and the reward was, this tastes good. And I did this over and over again until it came to a point where this isn't healthy for me. To do this every single meal. Okay, I don't feel well, and this isn't worth it. And so what did I do? I got rid of them. Well, most of them. My wife wanted to keep some, and I wanted to as well, so we put some in the pantry, but I threw almost everything else away, and I eliminated the trigger. And that's a benign example, but is there a trigger in your life that is so simple just to be done with? And say it's not even worth having the brownies out. I can just throw them away. Unfortunately, the reality is, because of the broken world we live in, at times we will give into the temptation to sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. But the good news is found in Hebrews chapter 4. The author writes this, quote, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Jesus was tempted as we are tempted. He was human just like us, and yet he did not sin. He looked at the tree of knowing good and evil and said, "No, thank you." He did this in Matthew 4 with the devil in the wilderness. And he used one of God's greatest gifts to fight off the devil. Jesus quoted scripture. Jesus fought off temptation with the Bible. This was key for him, and it needs to be key for us as well, to meditate and to memorize scripture so that when we are faced with temptation, we are grounded with the truth of God's word. And not only was Jesus tempted in the wilderness, Jesus was tempted in the garden the night before he was killed. He was tempted to run. However, he looked at the temptation to take the shortcut and avoid the cross, and instead chose the good gift of God, which was the cross. Only in God's upside-down kingdom can the cross be a gift. And the cross is a gift because from it flows the free gift of salvation to the world, to everyone who repents and believes in the gospel. And so as we think about this series and as we think about the title of this sermon, Wisdom and Temptation, there is no better display of it than Jesus. Jesus looked at the temptation to bow down to the enemy at Matthew 4 and looked at the temptation to give into his human desires of avoiding the cross, but instead he chose God's good gifts, a gift that gave him perspective. A gift that allowed him to see beyond his current moment as he sweat drops of blood, and instead he understood what obeying the Father would mean for all of eternity. And now, we have access to that grace that Jesus offers. And this grace does many things, but specifically two things this morning. First, it allows us to be rescued, to be saved from our sin and ourselves, to be rescued from death and the grave. And this grace is on offer today. And secondly, this grace allows you to look at the forbidden man or woman in Proverbs 5 and say no. To look at that food tonight at family dinner and say, I've had enough. To look at your marriage and say, there is hope. To look at the gossipy conversation everyone else is having at the lunch table in the APR. Let's hope that that doesn't happen here. And say, I don't need to join in. To look at your anger and resentment and say, God loves that person who has wronged me. And he or she is most likely carrying hurt and pain. To look at your money and say it is better to give than to receive. To look at the anxious and depressing thoughts in your mind and say, Jesus, take these thoughts captive. I am yours. To look at your young children who are frustrating you and say, they are a gift from God and I am called to sacrificially love them. God's grace allows us to be able to do all of this by the power of his Holy Spirit. And I want to be clear, this isn't a message where we try and get more willpower this week. This isn't a message for me to inspire you to change in your own strength. Okay, that may work for a few days, but it won't last. Instead, we rely on the Holy Spirit to do what we cannot do when we face temptation. And because of this, there is hope. Remember that God calls us to say no to the temptation to sin and instead say yes to his good gifts. So, if this is true, how do we begin to live into this grace? How do we begin to live into the freedom that Jesus offers? Let me ask you two questions to think about before we close with the song. First, what are you tempted by? For the last time, what are you tempted by? Just choose one. What consistently came to mind throughout this sermon that I believe possibly by the Holy Spirit's prompting? And secondly, what is the good gift that God has given you to enjoy instead of running after your own sin? There are many good and right answers to this question. But let me just say this, that 99% of the time, the answer should include other Christians. In preparation for the sermon, I talked to about a dozen people and I asked them four questions. Okay, first, what are you tempted by? Secondly, what do you believe acting on the temptation will give you? Third, when you do give in, what is going on in your life? Is there any correlation? And fourth, just the opposite of the third one, when you are able to resist, what is going on in your life? Is there any correlation? And I got a variety of answers to the first two questions about what are you tempted by and what do you believe the temptation will give you. But when it came to the second two questions, almost every single person said something like this. When I feel alone or lonely, I'm much more susceptible to give in. But when I know I have a community, and when I am in regular communication and contact with that community, I am much more likely to resist the temptation. Church, we need each other, and the good news is we have each other. We were not meant to walk this life alone. And so if you want to be wise in the midst of temptation, walk with other followers of Jesus. Walk with other Christians. There you will find strength. There you will find freedom. You won't be perfect, but there we will be able to say no to the temptation to sin and instead say yes to God's good gifts. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that by your Spirit, you would teach us, just even thinking about those two questions, what are we tempted by and what is the good gift that you have given us to run to instead of our sin? Pray that by your Spirit, you would give us freedom. Lord, we know that we will continue to face temptations in this world. Your Son faced temptations in this world. But I pray that by your grace and by your Spirit, you would give us strength to say no and to run to you, who is the author of our life. In Jesus' name, amen.